This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, September 24th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Newsom signs plastic bag ban, a new law on pesticide-treated seeds, and Trump challenges Deere. Newsom signs plastic bag ban, bill on treated seeds. Governor Gavin Newsom has acted on hundreds of bills in recent days as he closes in on an end-of-month deadline to decide on legislation. Among the bills now made into law, a ban on reusable plastic bags. Grocery store chains, weary of lawsuits, sponsored the legislation to clarify decades of confusion over California's plastic bag rules. U.S. manufacturers of reusable bags countered that loopholes in the proposal would allow cheap Chinese bags to once again fill landfills. Newsom has also signed AB 1042, adding new labeling requirements for pesticide-treated seeds. Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Kahan of Orinda initially proposed a ban on the products last year. After the bill failed to get out of committee, she narrowed the scope of this year to propose label changes. The move dropped all opposition, although it also cost her support in the environmental community. Vetoed. Newsom rejected another attempt by Assemblymember Steve Bennett of Ventura to establish a CDFA program for sharing ag equipment. In his veto statement, the governor sympathized with the attempt to assist small farmers, but he stopped short of supporting an ongoing cost to the state as it grapples with a budget shortfall. Former President Donald Trump threatened to impose a 200% tariff on John Deere farm equipment produced in Mexico if the company shifts production of some skid steer and compact loader models south of the border. Trump, seated in front of two John Deere tractors at a roundtable in Pennsylvania yesterday, said the company would pay a tremendous tariff on everything they want to send back to the United States unless they change course and focus on expanding operations in the U.S. instead of Mexico. John Deere has got to understand that if they build in Mexico, they start closing plants. That's just the beginning, he said, claiming that in a year from now, they're going to do another one, and then another one. All of a sudden, they're not going to be in the country anymore, and they're going to have to pay a very big price to be able to sell that product in the United States, Trump said. Now take note, Deere didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on the Trump threat, but the company has said it's shifting the production from its Dubuque, Iowa plants to optimize that facility for other types of equipment. The company says it has put $2 billion into its U.S.-based factory since 2019 for the production and assembly of X9 combines, excavators, new tractor lines, and as well its See and Spray technology. In order to position our U.S. factories to undertake these highly value-added additive activities, it is sometimes necessary to move less complex operations, such as cab assembly, to other locations, the Deere website says. This includes moving the production of some models of our skid steer loaders and compact loaders to our factory in Mexico. That's a facility that's been an important part of our global operation for nearly 70 years. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Advocates question possible FDA chemical review process. FDA is holding a public meeting this week on developing a long-awaited process for post-market assessment of chemicals in food. This process would cover ingredients generally recognized as safe food and color additives, contaminants, and food
contact substances. Ahead of the meeting, advocacy groups that have been pushing FDA for years to develop this process said yesterday they are concerned it won't be as proactive, rigorous, and transparent as it needs to be. The Environmental Working Group, the Environmental Defense Fund, and the Center for Science and the Public Interest said the discussion paper FDA released to accompany the meeting doesn't provide enough detail about the methods and criteria it will use throughout the process. They also expressed concern with the level of transparency, among other issues. Now, take note, the groups are recommending FDA first identify high-priority chemicals for assessment by focusing on chemicals that are carcinogens or of concern for children's health. Additionally, they suggest FDA focus on chemicals that stay in the body for long periods of time, like PFAS. Corteva and Elanco leaders call for improved regulatory system for ag innovation. CEOs from seed and animal health companies suggest that U.S. regulatory structure is delaying farmers from accessing critical technology. During the opening plenary session of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture annual meeting in Indianapolis, Jeff Magro, a CEO of Corteva, and Jeff Simmons, CEO of Elanco, discussed the challenges to innovation in agriculture. Both suggested there's too much politics involved in the regulatory system, which can prevent farmers from accessing the best technology to address problems like drought and productivity. Not all of this is limited to the United States, they said. Until we have sort of a global, harmonized regulatory system when it comes to gene editing, we won't be able to have these wonderful tools and technologies available to farmers, said Magro. Talks between dock workers and port operators stall. Strike looms. East and Gulf Coast port operators say they can't get a dock workers union to return to the negotiating table as the threat of a strike is closing in. The United States Maritime Alliance, a group representing container carriers, marine terminal operators, and port associations stretching from Boston to Houston, said in a statement that it has been, quote, unable to schedule a meeting to continue negotiations on a new master contract with the International Longshoremen Union. Dock workers could strike as soon as October 1st if an agreement is not reached. Amid the tensions, the federal government has taken an interest in the dispute. Both the Department of Labor and the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service have been in touch with USMX, which has expressed openness to the idea of mediation so long as the other side is. ILA Executive Vice President Dennis Daggett, meanwhile, decried the idea of federal intervention last Friday. He said, quote, let me be clear, the government should stand up for American workers, not foreign-owned corporations that seek to destroy our great jobs, Daggett said. Well, here's today's final word. At a time where our industry is just starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, we can ill afford a shutdown of these critical ports. That Roger Isom, president and CEO of the Western Agriculture Processors Association, he's reacting to a looming shutdown at an eastern ports that would likely send more cargo through California's ports and lead to congestion and other delays for local ag exports. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, September 24th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.